On tonight's show, our opening night preview.
Greer putting the ball on a play. He gets it out deep, and Havlicek steals it. Over his back throw. Havlicek's all over. It's all over.
We look at our host's preseason predictions. Then tomorrow night, it's Knicks at Celtics. We also look at Timberwolves at Lakers. And much more. Everyone, and welcome back to the Crossover Across Time podcast. It is October 21st, the night before opening night of the 2024-2025 NBA season, and we're here with our opening night preview. I, of course, am your host, Karsten Kiel. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show, both previous listeners and brand new listeners alike. Thank you for tuning in. I really, really can't thank you enough for your support on the show. I'll be honest with you, this is going to be a somewhat abbreviated episode. Embarrassingly, I had started recording this a little earlier this evening and unfortunately realized about halfway through that the mic was muted. Amateur mistake. Adjusting to, of course, the new workflow that comes with the video podcast being added along with the audio side of things. So apologies for this getting out definitely much later in the evening than we anticipated. Again, our flow for today, we're going to quickly recap the preseason predictions from all three of our hosts, including me, of course, and we'll also preview some of the opening night games. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get started. We'll look at Justin first. The big standout here, Orlando Magic up to 8. I think it's a fair choice. You look at Kentavious Caldwell-Pope joining the team as the big free agent acquisition. He gives championship experience and veteran savvy to a squad that was already very good defensively last year. They need more offense, of course. I think that 8 could be perhaps a bit high, especially with what some other teams have done. But not a bad choice. You definitely can't argue with it too much. He also has the Lakers at 10. A bit surprising there as well. We know what they're capable of at their best. We also know what can happen when things go their worst. So it's hard to argue, but it's also hard to really be ultra confident in the optimism. So we'll have to see how that plays out. The remainder of his, you know, rankings are in line with what both, for the most part, Wyatt and myself had as well. All three of us had the Boston Celtics at number one. Not sure how you really pick anyone else at this moment, especially with them retaining everyone. Justin and Wyatt both went with the Timberwolves at 2 and then the Thunder at 3. I personally went with Thunder at 2, Timberwolves 3, although more and more I think about it, I could probably talk myself into Timberwolves at 2 and, depending on how the beginning of the season plays out, that could very well change very, very quickly. Not sure which one of those teams will get off to the hotter start. And then after that, you get into the bulk of the next up teams. We have common choices of the Knicks, Mavericks, Nuggets, Bucks, Suns slipping in there, Sixers in the mix as well as some of our next up teams. Justin did not go with the Sixers in his top 10. I think the doubts are certainly fair, but there is a lot of upside there, so you can argue both sides. We go to the league standings predictions for Justin. Again, with that Magic choice, he has them as the fourth best team in the East, or at least he thinks they'll finish there. Could happen. Can't argue with it. We have the Philadelphia 76ers, finishing at 8th. Not sure about that. Again, they finished about 7th last year, and that was with missing Embiid for a majority of the season. With Paul George and Embiid, they should be playing at least some part of the season. We know that Paul George is out to start the year and that Embiid is going to be managing his knee. They're not going to call it load management and it's going to look different, but it might be under a different name and under a different type of way they're going to do it, but they're going to figure out how to manage that knee situation. But he'll be playing. It's hard for me to see the Sixers finishing any lower than 6th, but I do see the concern there. Again, otherwise a lot of common things here. Trailblazers near the bottom of the pack in the West. We've got Wizards and Pistons towards the bottom in the East. In the West, also interesting that the Grizzlies and Rockets did not get picked very highly by Justin. There's issues with both teams, but I think their talent will shine through, especially as they're still young teams on the upswing compared to teams like Warriors and Clippers that are aging and dealing with perhaps some more injury troubles. So it's an interesting balancing act there. We go to his awards predictions, Anthony Edwards for MVP. Not a bad choice necessarily. And then Rookie of the Year, this was the big one that I texted him. I made sure, is this exactly who you want to go with? Not sure if it was a placeholder. And I didn't want to offend him by asking that. He understood why I asked, and he recognized that, you know, it's definitely a long shot in many ways. But he also thinks that Baylor Shireman as a Rookie of the Year choice, you know, as the player alone, I think is more than anything why he went with him. An experienced college player who put up great numbers, great size as a scorer and a shooter, similar in some ways to Dalton Knecht of the Lakers. So that's an interesting connection between the Celtics and the Lakers. Not that we don't have enough of those, but the problem for me, of course, is when is he going to get that opportunity, if ever? He's on a star-studded roster that is also a defending champion. This is a team focused with winning championships and continuing to contend rather than developing players at this point in time. So it's hard to see where that opportunity can come from. But if he does play, I don't see why he couldn't have a chance, especially with a Rookie of the Year race that's pretty wide open this season. So there's Justin's choice there. And then as far as playoffs, he has the Timberwolves winning against the Boston Celtics in a 7-game series in the NBA Finals. Both Justin and Wyatt, not to spoil anything, but they both went with the Timberwolves as their championship picks. And again, solid teams, can't fault them. It would be the first Minneapolis championship since the days of the Minneapolis Lakers back in the 50s. And we'll see how it all plays out. Again, if you're new to the podcast and you're not familiar with our bracket challenge that we do every playoffs, come April, once the playoff bracket and the play-in bracket is finalized, we, the three hosts, make our own bracket predictions for how we think it'll all play out. And then as it goes along, we get points based on correct picks, as well as correct picks that also had a correct series record attached to them. And this choice here in the preseason helps give bonus points. We get, if there's a correct finals choice or conference finals choice, we can get a handful of extra bonus points to help us win the bracket challenge in the actual playoffs, April, May, and June. So that's how that is going to work, how that factors into that little challenge. Be on the lookout for that. Going to Wyatt's predictions here, he's got, as far as his power rankings, he has Clippers at 6th. And again, I checked with him about this, thought that was high. With the departure of Paul George, the Clippers did still bring in players that are going to, at least you would think, maintain a solid competitive team. Derrick Jones Jr. slides in as possibly a starting forward along with Kawhi Leonard when Kawhi is healthy, and that's, of course, a big factor in this. But they've got Nicholas Batum as well. They've got Chris Dunn as a solid backup point guard. You know, they've shored up their rotation. They've got quality role players, both in the starting lineup and the bench. And with Tyronn Lue, who's a coach who's proved me wrong about his play, his coaching acumen a lot, many a times, I think that the Clippers could be very solid. I still think it's perhaps high, but it's hard to not see the logic, especially with how wrong we were about the Clippers early on last season. Perhaps a little bit of a course correction with this pick, but I don't want to put words in his mouth there. I can see the pick of its own merit. I think it's a fair choice. And then Sixers landing at 10 for Wyatt. A lot of those other teams, Knicks, Mavericks. Knicks falling to 8th for Wyatt. That's also intriguing with some of the big moves they made, but I have some concerns as well about the Knicks as far as their roster continuity. I think they had a lot of turnover. And you're adding talent, but you're also having to kind of relearn and retool and readjust to how you're actually going to play basketball with that new lineup. Looking at the league standings, still has the Knicks just above the Sixers in the East. In that 2 spot in the West, a lot of those same teams. He has Clippers jumping up to 5th in the West. Again, still could be challenging. but hard to fault the choice. A lot of those same teams falling in order. The Wizards at the bottom of the East with the Pistons just above. Trailblazers at the bottom of the West. Spurs just above them. Magic, Heat, Hawks, and Hornets in the play-in picture in the East. Lakers, Kings, Pelicans, Grizzlies in the play-in picture in the West. We look at Wyatt's awards predictions here. Elton Brand is Executive of the Year. Just a little caveat. I know that Brand is the GM, and Daryl Morey is like a president of the basketball ops. And those two, it gets kind of mixed up which one is actually making the day-to-day decisions on roster personnel, trades, things of that nature. So we're going to say Brand. We just mean Sixers in general, whoever it is that's actually making those day-to-day decisions. He has Nikola Jokic winning his fourth MVP, which would make him the sixth player to win four or more MVP awards. He would join Wilt Chamberlain, LeBron James, Bill Russell, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Michael Jordan as the only players to win four or more if he were to win it this upcoming season. And that would be a fantastic group, a selection of all-time greats to have your name thrown into. So that would be sensational. Like Justin, Wyatt went with Victor Wembanyama as both his Defensive Player of the Year and his Most Improved Player. So that it's hard to argue with that logic. Naz Reid, both guys went with Naz Reid as their Sixth Man of the Year, LeBron as the All-Star Game MVP. That Timberwolves point, I think that that bench is going to be scary. And I'll talk about it a little bit more with my awards pick as well. And then Tom Thibodeau's Coach of the Year, Zach Edey as Rookie of the Year with what the Grizzlies need as far as him coming in there, filling up the paint, getting the boards, just clogging up the lane. It's an easy choice. He's going to rack up numbers, and he should help the Grizzlies be a better team this year. Finally, you look at his playoff predictions. He also went with the Timberwolves upsetting the Celtics in a seven-game final series. You can see the rest of the picks there. Again, all of these posts are already available on our social media platforms. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You look up Crossover Across Time, you should be able to find us fairly easily, and you'll see all these posts. And also, if you are subscribed to the newsletter, we did share these through that earlier today as well. Going to my predictions here and my power rankings, first of all, I went with probably the most conservative of the three guys here. Celtics at the top, then Thunder, then Timberwolves. Got Mavericks, Knicks at 4 and 5. Sixers jumping up to 6th for me. I think that the moves they made, and they filled out a solid lineup. The roster continuity thing is a big question mark, like we said with the Knicks, but a lot of the newest guys are role players, and I think that that is a big difference than a lot of the starters being new players, with the Knicks having brought in both Mikal Bridges, Karl Anthony Towns. Those are two big pieces, where the Sixers, they have Paul George, but then role players in that remaining new players in the starting lineup, if that makes sense. Nuggets and Bucks, 7 and 8. Pacers, Cavs at 9 and 10. I went with 6 Eastern Conference teams in my top 10. Again, that's a bit different from that Western Conference theme and the Wild West and the tough Western Conference. But as much as we talk about the West, and we'll continue to talk about the West probably ad nauseum, I think that the East is 1 through 6. Very, very good. And, you know, it's not going to be an easy road for the Celtics to the conference finals or the finals, or even the Knicks, who's kind of that next up team, or the Sixers potentially, or the Bucks. You know, I think there's a lot of good teams in that six or seven mix, and it should be a tough road either way. Looking at my league standings predictions, again, fairly conservative choices here. I went with Clippers as the 12th worst team in the West. Maybe too low, thinking about it in all actuality. Rockets, I have them slipping into the play-in picture. Out East, I have the Pistons up to third worst in the East rather than second or worst. I think that they made enough offseason moves, and they have a coach who has recent playoff experience. Cade Cunningham's hungry to get this team more towards winning basketball. I don't think that they'll win a ton of games. I think they're still below 30 wins, but they should be improved, and they should not be the worst team in the Eastern Conference. And then a lot of similar choices in the top group for both conferences there. Going to my NBA awards, I think that Luka, I'm going with him again as MVP. A lot of people have picked him in recent years and picked him last year, and it didn't happen. I think this could be his year to break out, especially since he last year proved that he is a playoff competitor and playoff winner. He can power a team to the finals along with strong play with Kyrie Irving. I think that he's shown he's a winner. He's not just a big stats guy. And if he has a big stats year this next year, or this season rather, Klay Thompson in tow, the Mavericks should be a top five team in the West, barring anything unforeseen. He should be a pretty decent candidate to be that NBA MVP. Went with Victor Wembanyama's Defensive Player of the Year. I think that's a solid choice. Edie is Rookie of the Year. Dante DiVincenzo, he's my choice for Sixth Man of the Year. You're taking a guy who was the starter for the Knicks, Hart ideally coming off the bench, but with injuries he had to start as well. But DiVincenzo was the starter at that shooting guard. Now he's coming off the bench, you would think, with the Timberwolves, with Anthony Edwards, of course, that starting shooting guard. They should be, you know, very potent, and DiVincenzo should be in that mix, especially with his three-point prolific shooting ability. And then we've got Chris Finch as Coach of the Year for the Timberwolves. I think that he should be recognized for what he's done there. Sam Presti as Executive of the Year. That's a slam dunk choice with what they've done, bringing in two stellar role players in Alex Caruso, Isaiah Hartenstein, for not a lot of, you know, they didn't have to give up a lot in terms of the playoff rotation last year. They gave up Josh Giddey, but he wasn't a big part of their rotation anyways at that point. And so being able to bring those guys in and having the massive amount of draft capital they have, it's sensational. And speaking of Josh Giddey, he's actually my choice for most improved player. I would like to see him, as much as there's the off-court issues and question marks and concerns, and rightfully so, you know, if he can get back to the promise he showed in his first couple of seasons with the Thunder, that'd be great for him. You know, it'd give him an opportunity to have a chance either with Chicago or with another team to be a lead guard type of player. And then I went with Nikola Jokic as All-Star Game MVP. I think if the Nuggets could struggle a bit more this season, which I think they might with their bench struggles, he could be a decent choice for All-Star Game MVP. A little bit of a release in San Francisco when they go for the All-Star Game. And then as far as the NBA Cup, I think the Mavericks should start off the season strong, hit the ground running with the increased, you know, urgency and focus on getting back to the finals with the start of the season, that they could win the NBA Cup and that Luka Doncic could be that tournament MVP as well. Finally, going to my playoff predictions, I went with the Celtics winning the championship this next season as well, or I guess this current season rather, basically with it starting tomorrow. Again, safe choice in many ways. Not as safe recently with the era of parity that we're in. We haven't had a repeat champion since the 2018 Warriors with Kevin Durant on that roster, and so it's a little less certain. But if there's any team over the past six or seven seasons that is going to repeat, it's going to be the Celtics team that was very, very dominant this past season. I have them beating the Thunder in the NBA Finals in six games to win the championship. So those are our playoff predictions and our preseason predictions as a whole from all of us hosts. Again, if you want to get more in depth, look at all those. We'll have them on our social media pages. There's a newsletter we sent out. And you can also find a lot of that information, the power rankings rather. We're going to have the full 30-team power rankings set up for all three hosts. That'll be on our website. So if you want to check that out, you should be able to find the link to us, our website. It's not a full official URL. It's not a .com link. It's just a Google site, because that's what we can have set up for you at this moment. But on our social media pages, you should be able to find a link tree that will take you right to the website, and you can check out that content. So that's what we've got there, and let's actually get into the opening night preview portion of the opening night preview episode for you. And we start with tomorrow night's games, which now, as the clock has turned over, it's technically later tonight's games. We'll technically be getting this out on the morning of the 22nd, so apologies again for the lateness of this episode. But we start October 22nd. We have games on the screen. It's going to show it in Mountain Time. I'll translate it to Eastern Standard Time for you. That's going to be 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. On TNT is when the Boston Celtics will host the New York Knicks as part of their ring ceremony. They'll raise the banner and then they'll face off two top teams in the East, two Atlantic Division rivals and longtime members. I mean, two of the longest tenured teams in the NBA. But the Celtics poised to defend the title, while the Knicks have made a bunch of moves to where they think this is their best chance to contend since the late 90s. So that should be a great game to watch for. And then at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, the Los Angeles Lakers will host the Minnesota Timberwolves. You have the old guard versus the new guard. LeBron James going into his 22nd season, which will tie the record set by Vince Carter in very recent memory, if most seasons played in an NBA career. We'll tie that. And of course, there's also the Bronny James story. Will he play in that game? Will they get the record out of the way? Ken Griffey, senior and junior of baseball fame and trivia Hall of Fame, or trivia fame rather, Hall of Fame players. But, you know, both those guys, if you're not familiar, I believe the trivia fact is that both those players were on the team, the Seattle Mariners, at the same time. They were right next to each other in the batting order, and they hit back-to-back home runs as a father-son duo. So a lot of record-type stuff there. They're going to be in attendance to this game that has similar aspects with LeBron and Bronny. We'll see what happens there. But then the Timberwolves, Anthony Edwards and that team, and we've talked about them a lot in this episode. They're one of the most promising teams in the Western Conference. So say no more. Great couple of games, both on TNT to open up the regular season. And then we get into the next night, the 23rd, and we have a slew of games, I believe 10 games total. You see them up on the screen. And we've got, Pistons hosting the Pacers in a Central Division matchup there. That's at 7 EST. We've got Raptors hosting the Cavaliers at 7:30. Both those games, League Pass games. We get to our first ESPN broadcast. That's on 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. The Philadelphia 76ers host the Milwaukee Bucks. Classic Eastern Conference matchup, but also two teams looking to compete. The Sixers with the addition of Paul George. Bucks looking to get things right after a disappointing year last year, the first year with the Lillard, Giannis, and Antetokounmpo duo. And then also at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time, the Miami Heat host the Orlando Magic. Classic Southeast Division matchup. Florida teams going at it. We go to the next set of games there. We've got the Atlanta Hawks hosting the Brooklyn Nets. That's at 7:30 on League Pass. Then at 8 o'clock, the New Orleans Pelicans host the Chicago Bulls. Also at 8 o'clock, the Houston Rockets host the Charlotte Hornets. And then at 9 o'clock, the Utah Jazz host the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, that game is not on League Pass. That's on local TV only. So KJazz, if you're in Utah, that's where you can check that one out. And then finally, our last two games that night at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, the Portland Trailblazers host the Golden State Warriors. And then finally, our second ESPN game of the night at 10 o'clock, the Los Angeles Clippers open up the Intuit Dome, their first game at home in the new Intuit Dome against the Phoenix Suns. Talented players on both sides of the basketball. Kawhi Leonard out to start the season, so he will not be there. So it could be an easy Suns win, perhaps. But for the Clippers' sake, let's hope that they can compete well and maybe earn a victory in their first game at their new home and their new home court. So that's the schedule for those opening night games. As far as the matchups there, and maybe even a thought of who might win those games, I think Celtics should win and probably Timberwolves win. Which seem like easy choices. Those are the favored teams of those two. Celtics, with the ring ceremony and the momentum and morale that they've got going on, and especially with the Knicks, again, it's going to be an adjustment process with new players. I think that that's a fair choice. And then Timberwolves going into Los Angeles, beating the Lakers. I think that there's a little bit of a lot going on with the Lakers, both on and off the court, storylines, new things going on. Even with the Timberwolves trying to integrate Julius Randle into the lineup as a new player, I still think that they're going to be well set. Anthony Edwards, he's not afraid of any kind of matchup or any hype or situation that is going to be going on in Los Angeles. So I would pick the Timberwolves in that one. But regardless of winner or loser, I think it's going to be a great start to the season. And with that, that's basically most of the episode. Let's go ahead and start wrapping things up with, firstly, we'll bring you our This Day in History fact for today. And we're not going back too far for this one.
It's an unbelievable presence to be in. I mean, it's the history of the league. Bob Pettit is here, 90 years old. Then we got the Young Bucks here. So we got great representation of multiple generations.
Dr. J speaking there, and that was just a couple of years ago in the 2022 season. On this day in 2021, the NBA's 75th anniversary team is unveiled and features pioneers that help shape, define, and redefine the game. 11 players currently playing in the NBA at the time, which were Giannis Antetokounmpo, Carmelo Anthony, Stephen Curry, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, James Harden, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Damian Lillard, Chris Paul, and Russell Westbrook. Those 11 players made the list. Additionally, all 50 players from the NBA's 50th anniversary team make the 75th anniversary team, as well as new legends like Dominique Wilkins and Bob McAdoo all made the team. And again, the audio clip and video clip that you heard and saw were from the actual ceremony, which took place as part of All-Star Weekend in Cleveland in 2022, which is funny because I believe the 97 All-Star Weekend was also in Cleveland, which you would think that it would be perhaps in Boston that they would do that, which is a little bit closer to the Basketball Hall of Fame. Cleveland in Ohio, you think more Football Hall of Fame, but or even Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Maybe that's why they did it, but still a great fact. Not too long ago, but that celebration, I think it's a part of what this podcast is all about, right? Celebrating the history of the league while also talking about where the league is going, having all those active players on the anniversary team. And you could also see a lot of young stars that are good candidates to make the 100th anniversary team in due time. So that is our This Day in History fact, and that is about it for us today. Again, thank you everyone for listening, for tuning in, for watching. We cannot thank you enough for your support on the show. We'll be back with you on Wednesday, late Wednesday night, once we've had most all of the teams play and get their season started. We'll recap all that action. We'll discuss any big storylines at that point, report some of the latest news, and get right back into the swing of things with the start of the regular season. So again, thank you for listening, and we'll be back with you on Wednesday's episode.